Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
What was that song?
It's too long.
No.
It's like a legitimate 3-minute and 40-second song that you would hear.
It's the dopest track.
Says the guy with the 10-minute podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's too long for you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. I'm Brad Williams. My co-host is Adam Ray. And in studio, a guest we've been trying to get for a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, he's
he's busy.
Busy.
Dude. He's Hollywood.
No, I've got stuff going on. It's not like I don't have stuff going on.
He's got a shit to do. Ladies and gentlemen, from Whitney, from Workaholics.
That's right.
From live nude comedy, from numerous comedy specials.
Cops. I've been on Cops.
Cops. From playing Jesus on Hollywood Boulevard. That's Chris D'Elia is here, everyone. Yeah. Chris D'Elia in studio. Clap for yourself.
Yeah, there you go. They didn't know, and now they know, so thanks, guys.
It's a fucking bright yellow shirt, man.
I know. You know what I did?
You're really rocking the bright colors recently.
No, you know, here's the deal.
Okay, well, fuck.
No, I there's a story
behind it. I was making
it.
A keen observation.
There's a story about it.
Okay.
I used to do a lot of bright color wearing, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then what happened was I decided to not do it anymore, okay? This was a few years ago.
Oh, way to open the podcast with a great story.
No. This isn't the end. This is like the sixth sense right at the end. You're like, whoa.
Used to wear bright colors. Don't anymore.
No.
Anyway, I'll see you guys.
And what happened was everybody thinks I wear bright colors still. So they fucking buy me shit and they send me shit because I get free shit now because I'm big time.
Oh, he
wears lots of colors. Let's send him all the fucking bright yellow and blue shit.
He wears lots of colors.
Yeah. So now I'm fucked. I got to wear all this shit. My mom gets me fucking shit for Christmas. For Christmas, I'm bright color. Hey, get them the bright color shit. I got people still get me. Like, I used to love Batman as a kid. I still love Batman.
Yeah.
But I don't want a Batman lunchbox. But my fucking aunt gets me a Batman lunchbox last year. You know what I'm talking about?
That would happen to me when I was a kid. You have, like, you're 10 years old. You ask for one thing for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then the relatives who you never see lock onto that one thing until you're 22.
Exactly.
They just, like, I was in a big Abercrombie and Fitch stage for year.
Yeah.
One year.
You could change the game.
Well, because I look like one of the models.
That's what I'm saying.
Obviously.
You're usually one
of the guys.
Plus, they're doubly confused because you didn't grow since you were
right.
that age. So they're like, well, we should still get him that shit.
Yeah, exactly. No, because they started having Abercrombie and Fitch for kids. And that shit fit me perfectly. So, like, for 1 year, I was like, this is the best.
Right,
this
right,
is the
right.
best store. And then they started putting, like, naked guys on every T-shirt. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop. But then nothing but Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
Crazy. Chris, I want to say something to you, because a lot of sitcom stars are doing stand-up and doing the road.
Right.
But you, my friend, put in the work.
Oh.
Some guys just go out there and they're like, all right, I'm on a sitcom.
Bernie Mac, Tim Allen, didn't put in the work.
Not for 20 years.
Brett Butler, didn't put in the work.
But, like, you still do 3 to 4 shows a night.
Yeah, sometimes.
And I told you this after the last time I saw you. You went on a 10 o'clock show at the Laugh Factory, and I came up to you afterward and said, that was one of the best comedy sets I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You did say that, man. I appreciated that.
You destroyed that. And it's just refreshing to see someone on TV that's not phoning it in, that's like really doing the work and going up.
Stand-up's your first love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love having a job on Whitney. I love doing TV. I love acting. But it's everything is for the stand-up, dude. I just like, to me, it's so the best part of it is that now people can see me in a broad arena and come to a show.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and I've been doing stand-up for way longer than I've been on.
And you're still building fans, but now from the show, it's like you have people coming to see you, which just makes it even more fun because now they're like really wanting to.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
And also, it's a different medium, right? These, like, sitcom versus stand-up. Like, there's a live audience and the whole process of, like, scene to scene, but, like...
But it's what I have on stage is mine, you know? I mean, like, I like doing a character. I like playing Whitney's boyfriend and doing the shit that he would do, but I you know... When I get on stage, it's like nobody can edit you. That's awesome.
Sure. And like doing the road as much as we're doing, I hear people come up to me all the time after shows and be like, yeah, you know, we this is our first time really trying comedy. We tried it like 3 years ago and we saw X sitcom star that was on a show and he sucked.
Right.
We thought Screech do stand-up and it was no good. So we're not doing stand-up anymore.
Right.
And that just frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine seeing Screech audition just being like, nah, I guess like that was your one taste of comedy. Because it does happen for a lot of people that they see one show or like there are a couple comics. Or they went to a show of people who were like 3 months in. And then there was like a couple like big names to help the show out the way bringer shows work.
Right.
But then they based their whole experience on that whole night.
Right, yeah. I have to. It's just it's too hard of a profession to not put in the work. Like
yeah.
I don't. I like staying sharp. I like going on stage three times a night. It's just. Mm-hmm. I wait all day for
it's a reward
that
for doing the shows after the long day of shooting.
Yeah, I mean, people, the other actors and some other comedians are like, dude, why you're on a show? What are you doing? You're doing a show on Tuesday for like 45 people? Why are you popping in? Because that's what I fucking. I can't wait for that. You don't understand. Like,
it's almost more pressure to have to even get better with stand-up because the avenue for your audience is going to get bigger based on everything. So
I love to do it. I just love to do it. It's just, you know, there's so many people that are doing shit that they shouldn't be doing as a profession. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is what I should be doing, and I just want to take it for real.
At what point did you figure out, like, all right, I have to give myself over to stand-up? Because obviously, like, there was a point, like, where I figured out, too, where I was like, oh, I can't just do it once every 3 months like I did the first year and just do Vargas Mason bringer room shows and do a new seven minutes and, like, think, yeah, I'm a comedian, which I did. But then there was a point where I was like, oh, wow, I need to, like, drive to Santa Barbara for 8 minutes to go with these guys that I've never met, but I can, like, now build a relationship with them.
Right,
lead into other shows.
Absolutely.
And just giving yourself over to it. But if I think if it were for you, you said it was almost, like, instantaneous.
Yeah, well, I didn't understand it at all before I started, and I was like, dude, I'm gonna do it once a week. It was my New Year's resolution. I'm gonna do it once a week. It was in 2006. I'm gonna do it once a week, and then that's gonna be. I'm gonna try and do it, and then I did it January 2nd, and then I was like, oh, I'm just gonna do it tomorrow too, and then I just did it every day.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Without even thinking twice about it.
Yeah, it was just like, awesome. This is cool.
I remember that first time, too. I remember I walked off stage and I just fucking murdered. And I remember walking by and Chris was sitting in the corner, like kind of sulked over. And I was like, kid, man, just stay with it.
Yeah.
And he was like, thanks, mister.
Yeah. You were really bummed in those early years.
Yeah. Not a lot of confidence.
At 26, I had that high pitched kid voice.
Thanks. Thanks, mister.
One day.
I appreciate it. And one thing. And I get emails on Facebook all the time, people saying, hey, I'm thinking about getting into comedy. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice? And the easiest part about comedy is that the advice is simple, is that it's just you have to do it.
There's no,
that's it.
Yeah,
you can't, there's no quick fix. There's no, we'll just talk about this and then you're going to be funny. You just have to get up and do it and you have to exercise that muscle and you do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can attest to it too.
Good.
I feel like I started maybe a little bit, like maybe a year after. You like really the way of like every night
every
type
night
shit.
Shit, yeah.
And so it's been really cool to consistently because there's a handful of people you just don't like. Brad, you're down in Fullerton, so like when you're coming up to Hollywood, like maybe a couple nights a week,
sure.
So you're not like seeing people maybe around the circuit as consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but like seeing you at the clubs every night and seeing like the growth over like the years, is really kind of. And then people just see you and they go, oh, yeah, Chris has always been awesome.
Right.
And yeah, you've always had a lot of charisma and been confident, but like.
Sexy.
It's,
what? I'm sorry.
Keep your dick in your pants for this show, please.
Mine's been out since I parked.
When Fick was here. since you parked.
Perfect.
Dude,
But seeing like even from like, you know, 2 years to what, seven?
Yeah.
Right? Seven, like seven. There's a like growth that you just don't. You see it, but like people just go, yeah, he's all. But you, of course.
Well, I had to force myself to stop saying yes to like shows because I would just be like, fuck yeah, I want to go on stage, and then I would do like I would end up doing some fucking bar show in like deep in the valley for eight people, and I'm like, and I'm on TV, and I'm like, what am I doing?
No, this is not yet.
You don't have to do that because I could get a spot at another place with a packed crowd.
Yeah, or even if there's eight people, do it at a comedy club where
they
came
where there
it.
Will be eight, more than eight people. Yeah,
it's a cool part in your career when you can say no to shows because when you first start out, you have to say. Yes to anything. I've driven 6 hours to the San Jose Improv to do 20 minutes $100.
Dude, we did that.
We did that.
Your first headline gig.
Oh. That was my first headline gig. Was the San Jose Improv. We drove 5-6 hours, and I don't know how much I got paid, but I did.
Was
maybe
it
40
a,
minutes?
Yeah.
Was it
no,
a one nighter?
You did like
it
an
was
hour.
A one nighter.
Dude,
yeah.
you did like
yeah.
an hour
oh, I did.
And crushed, dude. It was awesome.
Really?
It was like, we drove there, we came back the next night.
You came and Andy Kozel, right?
Andy Kozel, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. But now
freestyle rapping was going on in that car.
Yeah, oh boy.
That's how I became such a fucking
You are a big rap fan, aren't you?
I love hip hop, dude.
What do you love so much about it?
Here's what I like, dude. I like that it's lately, like the Two Chainz of it all and the shit and like the lines have been blurred to where it's been like funny, but does he mean it or is it funny or
so
what?
Like
what
right. the Harlem Shake
but,
and
yeah,
stuff like that.
That stuff, what I really liked about it growing up
song.
Is it was, they were serious. They were serious about like, they really were like, dude, if somebody crosses me, I'm going to fucking kill them.
and they did.
And you believed it. You were like, yeah this guy might kill somebody.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't, you know? Like, right. they wouldn't do that.
So the lyrics reflected that, you mean?
Well, the lyrics would be like,
look in my face and I'll cut your motherfucking
right.
face
yes.
off. Mm-hmm.
Like, right, right. Yeah. And so you're like, you're like, you kind of felt like they meant it, but they nobody ever cut anybody's face off.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Except in Face Off.
Right, right. But they weren't rappers. They were the masterminds.
I
haven't seen the movie.
I believe Nicolas Cage is one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Whoa.
He's straight
hip-hop. My favorite.
Really?
But Nicolas Cage is my favorite for sure.
So now they've gotten sillier.
Now that they've gotten sillier, I like it a little less.
Are they trying to be harder but have gotten sillier as a result?
Well, that's fine. I like that. But I don't like anybody who's rapping as a joke. Like, that's like when...
Okay, then you will not like my rapping.
So. No, you're rapping fucking blows, dude.
Okay, well, I'm chilling on a rowboat, and a root beer float will be so dope.
Like, no, it wouldn't be that dope.
No,
are you kidding me? Yeah.
It wouldn't be that dope if you had a root beer float on a boat, especially if you're alone, because then you're with no bitches, and that shit is so not good, not good at all, know what I'm saying? See, that's real shit. I'm speaking real shit right now.
Yo, but check it.
It doesn't
and
need to
run. And you're chilling in the club, and you want some grub, you can go get some food from the back bar. They got food and drinks for you. They got bitches, too. They
doesn't
got food
matter.
For you.
It's still depressing if you're chilling eating food at a club. See, that shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, T-Pain's writing this shit down right now, going, oh shit, that was me doing a club.
You
that was a beat.
And you forgot to get some food. You had a Nutri-Grain bar, but it wasn't that good.
That's pretty good.
That's some real white Jew problems right there.
I got a new car 2 years ago, and then I checked Instagram on my car and I scratched it. I brought it to the body shop, now follow me. I bought my mom's car. That's what this key is to right now. You can't see it at home, but I'm holding that key. It's my mom's car. Know what I'm saying? Yeah, what's up?
But
for real.
Even your mom's car is so much doper than my car, because it's got two vents in it. Back left door doesn't open.
See, that's what I like.
That's real.
I can attest to it. I saw his back of his car. He keeping it together with cables that you would buy at Big Five. Big Five. You buy Big Five. Never ever fix your car at Big Five. Only thing you get at Big Five is backpack. That's it.
I got cashews in between my seats.
Not to mention there probably some fries under that.
Oh shit! That is some straight real white rap problems, son.
That's good shit.
Oh my god! I was just in awe.
If I heard like, I know barely any of these. Like if I heard Lil Wayne rapping like that, I'd be all about it.
That's what I'm saying, man.
But it's too quick. Where that's just like a couple lines. It's about like I got gold on my teeth. Yeah. I got gold on my grams. I got gold and grams. That's not.
They rap
one
about
of the...
what they have.
Yeah. It's like one line that they just keep repeating.
Fuck you in the car. That's a cargasm. That's what I heard. He said that or
Shut
something.
The fuck
yeah.
Up.
No, I just heard that song on the
like,
way.
Here's my impression, right? Here's my impression of most of the rap I feel like I hear, which is why I don't listen to it. Yo, let's go get some girls and fuck them in the butts. Maybe, we could do it twice or three or four.
By the way, no rapper has ever said maybe in a song. That's so insecure.
It's always definitely.
Yo,
it's always for certain.
Lots of girls, maybe.
Well, now that I think about it, only one. The other two are on their way.
Yeah. They not getting back to me.
You can call me back,
so who,
maybe.
Who is one of the rappers that is that you really like? That you
like?
I don't like. Here's what I don't like. Ludacris. He does it like, I mean, I can appreciate what he's doing. Some of his shit sounds good, but it's some of this stuff, I feel like he's doing it to get a laugh. Right. And I don't like that as much. I mean, his beats are dope, and he's got a cool flow, for sure.
Do you think it is true that, like, the same way they say musicians want to be comedians, comedians want to be musicians? Do you think
I do not want to be a musician.
Right, but there's a piece in doing
rock
that
star,
with
but yeah,
this.
You're, like, doing the rapping thing.
Yeah, but to me, it's truly funniest when you're being real as fuck. So, it's to me, it's all about being funny. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like comedian. I know a lot of
Jamie
comedians
Foxx,
that are like
he's like actually a dope piano player. And
yeah,
singer.
He's right. Dope. I would never want to do that.
Yeah,
nah, never ever.
So,
but he's dope. He's good. I actually like that song. Always Fall for Your Type. It's an R&B song.
Yeah.
I have that song and I listen to it and I'm like, this is. But for you know, he's good.
Yeah,
like I genuinely like that music.
Right.
But if the second he's like. You know, oops, I slipped on a banana peel or whatever the fuck. It's like, I'm just,
funny.
It's not funny to me. It's less funny.
Right.
It's only funny when somebody's for real doing that
the
shit.
The vaudeville anthem.
Because nothing's funnier than an R&B singer singing for real about lovemaking.
Yeah.
That's for real funny.
Because he's believing every word of that.
Yeah.
And it's like the most outlandish claims ever. Like, I'm going to please your booty twice in one night.
Right.
But
like,
oh, shit.
But like,
he
but
wants
for
that.
Real. But even that's funny. But I'm talking about like, I'll make love to you near the fireplace, like that shit is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because what are you singing about? Shit that's actually for real, really going on. It's so specific, and you've done that. You've made love near a fireplace.
Yeah.
Everyone has.
There's no real hook. He's just like singing
Absolutely.
About something that happened.
Exactly.
Oh.
I love it.
So like if we were like singing about this podcast, we would just, I mean, it would just
R. Kelly's the shit.
Yeah.
Because he's for real. He's trapped in the closet and he's singing about how he's trapped in the closet.
Have you heard all the chapters?
All of them.
The new ones that just came out?
No, I didn't know there were new ones.
Oh my God. It is.
Really?
It's just like, and then.
Yeah. A lot of and thens.
And then Pimp Lucius comes out.
But a lot of
and thens. Pimp Lucius has got a mama, but he's a stuttering pimp.
Yeah.
But
there's a stuttering one?
Yeah, there is there's a stuttering pimp Lucius.
But there's no, it still doesn't sing maybe.
That's a great call. Dude, I mean, that's another bit. And let me ask you this. You write a lot on stage, right?
Yeah.
Do you write it all when you...
I never do, no.
That's nuts to me.
Really? I don't...
Well, because even even this past weekend, and I thought about this as it was happening, I probably got two new bits from shit that happened on stage, and I was like, wow, that's very Chris D'Elia like what just happened. Because I stuck with it more than I usually do, which you do... The entire you will ride. Something.
I've seen you do that at shows where someone will heckle or something will happen in the audience, and you will stick.
Yeah,
like you won't just do a quick comeback and then leave.
No.
You'll stick with them and try to find something that you can do with it.
Do you do that consciously, or is it like you're fucking with them so much that you end up being like, all right, thank you for setting me into this world. Now I'm gonna go off and do it on stage.
It's most fun for me to. Dude, my dad, like, just growing up, would just do the same joke over and over again, and it would be funny to me. And it just now, I just love to exhaust the fucking every possibility for the joke.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, some Armenians were at the Laugh Factory the other night, and I talked about them for 10 minutes of my set, just because... I know Armenians. I know a lot of Armenians.
Yeah.
I love Armenians. And, like, they're just, like, to me, it was truly funny because they were all on the balcony, and I was talking about how they love sitting on the balcony because they like to, like, look over the fucking audience and be like, this, yeah. This
like, they
fucking,
own everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They own everything.
It's another VIP type.
Then I went into that, and then I went into fucking, you know, and it just was funny to me. And it just, I'll think on stage and think about, well, as the audience is laughing or as I'm even doing one joke, I'll be thinking about, well, what else can I say that's funny to me because if it's funny to me, I feel like it's going to be funny.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, it'll come out.
Oh.
Yeah.
How much do you feel like you have to know a certain amount about Armenians to
well,
really get into the whole thing?
I will say, like, if somebody...
you can make up some stereotypes or some, like, things that they do. Or even, like, the rapper, like what you just said, like, not a lot of them say maybe, is definitely accurate when you think about it.
Right.
But not something that you are...
Well, I never thought about it before, right?
Yeah, but who's really, like, completely certain that is, like, a definite thing that they don't do that? But it sounds true
to
me.
Sure, I guess
because
I listen to a lot of rap, and I might know that. I will say I am absolutely, like, obsessed with, like, if I'm seeing stuff and I'm when I'm walking here, I'm looking at stores and I'm thinking, what's funny about that? Like, like what's funny about the big gorilla on the city walk? Like, there's something funny about that. I'm thinking maybe I could like take a picture and Instagram it. Now that we got all this social media, or when I'm walking in here, I'm like, you know, what's funny? Well, I walked into the John Lovitz Comedy Club and I'm looking around like, if I were here, what would I make jokes about? Like, I'm constantly thinking of that. Like, I'm obsessed.
Damn Terminator, just
I'm
always scanning.
I'm obsessed with that shit. Yeah, that fucking read.
It's a great way.
What is funny about this situation?
No.
there's something that you've been doing on Twitter recently that's been cracking me up. Is you take
fake celebrities?
Pictures of people in coffee shops and go, look at fucking Britney Spears in this coffee shop acting like she's not
acting
all Britney
like
Spears.
Dude, that's the best part of it. You always put like, look at Gene Hackman just getting a soy latte like it's not
like
Gene Hackman.
Like he's a regular person. And then I always click on the picture. And then it's always just some
guy, kind of, who maybe a little.
Sometimes it looks close. 90% of the time, it's like, it's a guy.
Yeah, or you'd be like, yeah, that actually looks more like Elton John. Yeah, or some shit. Yeah.
Dude, you know, it was on Conan, right?
Yeah, well, that's why I really, because I did it. I did it, and then they talked, when I was on Conan, they talked about it on Conan, and they showed it. And I got like, I think I got like 8,000 followers
Dude,
the next day.
That's awesome. Which was a genius move, by the way, to do that on the show.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until I was there, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah, this is
It's also such a unique thing because, you know, everyone obviously uses Twitter for a lot of the same shit, but it's like, it's nice to have like a something specific that you're doing on it that's... Another reason for people to like follow your shit instead of just like, let me see the funny anecdote you're coming up with like everybody else.
Yeah, so I don't know, at Chris D'Elia, but that's what I do now. I do it more because now people are like, people really like it and I like doing it. So
you had that, you had Serious Wednesdays.
Oh, I did that. That was in the way beginning and I stopped doing that because now I work for NBC and I was like, they were always like really dark.
At what point did they step in? They didn't step in,
but I just thought like,
just a conscious decision.
Like, I won't say like cunt on Twitter, which I probably wouldn't do anyway, but like, you know, like now if I'm gonna like, if I were to think about writing something like about like that's why, like with my brand, like with me and like my shit, like I never say like I fuck girls, like I always say I make love because that's what I do, dude. Like I don't like if I would never like
see,
if
that's a great line in a rap song, by the way. I would never say.
Well, no, but see, you know what? That's the thing about 50 Cent was like, we not in the making love. We always fuck or whatever the fuck we. Yeah. We not. I'm in the fucking whatever. You know
for sure. That's
from the
wrong dude.
I'm in the club.
In the club. Yeah.
We ain't into making love.
Why can I not think of this lyric?
The biggest song.
We're in the big love, the show with Bill Paxton. Yeah, we're trying to.
Yeah. We're fucking in the podcast. No, it was. But anyway, my point is like, dude, I make love, dude.
Yeah,
like, even if I'm doing like
a
one-night.
I've seen it. It's
thing,
very, yeah, it's very sweet.
I make
and
fucking
it's,
straight up.
You've seen it?
And we're going to brush by that.
And if I'm going to. And if I'm going
to. Dude, go back to this story.
We will. But if I'm kissing a girl and she's like, no, I don't want to have sex, I'm like, that's good because we're making love. Like, straight up.
That's good because sex is not what's on
sex
the docket.
Sex ain't on the agenda at all. Like, sir,
we just making love. Cross sex off of your to-do list.
Yeah.
And write making love up there instead.
When did you watch Chris have sex?
Nah,
not important. No, we never did it. Let me ask you this, though. That was my question.
What
about
happened?
God,
another
well, because
podcast.
Adam.
Totally joking.
But if he was going to see me do it, it would be love.
Yeah, it would be love making.
I would fucking.
And I would also, hey, can I watch you make love?
Yeah.
And you go, yes, probably because you asked the right way. If you say, hey, can I watch you
hey, yo, let me watch you fuck that girl, I would be like, it's not happening.
Not happening, dude. Yeah.
Well, because Adam, when we go on the road together, he's constantly like, hey, Brad, that like take that chick home and then I can watch.
Yeah.
Like, he's constantly doing that. So I'm wondering if he's got like a theme. Are you like a voyeur or something, Adam? What's happening?
Well, first of all, let me just stop and say that that's not true what he just said.
Yeah, I know that.
But
the listeners don't, but now we do. But here's the thing, dude.
Keep saying it like it's not true. You keep saying it twice.
I got twice,
and that's it.
I want to see all my friends make love and fuck because
dude,
it's
there's
not,
a fist pound happening if you
because,
can't hear
because
from
it's not because that shit would open your eyes,
Peter Gabriel
style, to the
right.
real friend that you have, dude.
Sure.
Like I've seen a few of my friends have sex, and that shit is legit, dude.
Yeah.
That brings you back to the animal shit where we were just like, we're all cavemen, and you're watching something, and it's like,
it's just raw.
Damn, it's
that's
raw.
That's who that person is.
It's
not
raw.
Not when you're hanging out with them at a bar or whatever. That's not who they are. When they're having sex, that's when you're at your.
You know your friend when you can see them inside of someone else.
But on the
wow,
That T-shirt
that.
Now
yeah,
available
that t-shirt on
crystalia.com. That's right.
You know what though, but. On the flip side, you see a buddy masturbating. That does
not good.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
That's where that
image is stained in your head.
Not good at all. No. Not good at all. But I never masturbate. I make love with myself.
Awesome. Well played.
Nah, that's what sometimes. And I never, when I orgasm, when I'm making love and I have an orgasm with a woman, I'm not very quiet.
Yeah.
I'm very like an army
soldier. You almost just whisper.
Like
you just whisper in there and go.
I go,
there it is.
Yes, exactly. I do that kind
there
of thing.
There it is.
I get very specific. There it is. And,
It's tag team, really back soft. Again.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
It's right there.
But when I masturbate alone, I'm very vocal.
Oh, God! I am so awesome at this.
Oh, so hot.
You like a collection of failed sports catchphrases to use during SportsCenter?
Yeah.
That totally happened just now.
Going Gonzalez.
Oh, one going Gonzalez. Back. Ah! Rumbling, stumbling down the field. Man. He could.
Oh, dude.
Jay Buhner.
All right. Dude, that just got Adam hard.
Dude, that is a great bit.
Yeah.
just when you failed,
like the sportscaster who just came in and with all his shit. He's like, sorry, I'm just, this is what I do when I jerk off. I thought it would carry over to sports.
Hell yeah.
Who's the one?
Who's the first baseman in the. Wait, hold
what?
On. Paul.
Kent Herbeck?
No. Who's the first baseman with the helmet?
John Olerud.
John Olerud.
John Olerud!
That was a good one.
Oh, Wally Joyner.
Yeah. Now, this is a great segue because we're talking about sports. And, and
Paul Molitor! Oh! Paul Molitor rips one to right. Dave Hollins. Joe Carter.
Joe Carter afterwards.
Joe Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Wild thing, Mitch Williams. Wild thing, Mitch Williams. Okay.
Tim Raines.
Fuck, I'm Tim so Raines. Hot. I'm hot right now. I'm so sweaty because of...
We got to talk about this, though. There's no... A lot of comedians love sports. No, that's not true.
I don't like sports. I have a bit about now how I don't like sports.
Yeah, and I want to go into this. But first of all, you did play, like, Little League Baseball.
Yeah, when I was a kid. Right? Do you know why? Because sports are what kids should do. You know why that's true? Because you fucking are involving yourself with, and I don't mean this sexual, it's going to sound sexual, but with balls. You're involving yourself with balls. If you're in a room and there's a ball there, the people who look at it are fucking children. They grab the ball and they throw it around and they're like, what's this ball do?
Yeah, what do we get who the kid for his birthday? A ball. Yeah.
If you're 32, which
you're
I am.
You're giving a grown football to a birthday.
Who gives a fuck? If there's a ball in a room, I don't give a shit. There are grown men that would walk into a room and be like, oh, a ball, and pick it up, and then that dude will have the ball, okay? And then if another dude walks in the room, 90% of dudes would be like, dude, let me see it. And then the other
person... Because it reverts you to back to that, being a kid.
And then the other person would be like, oh, no, you got to fucking, yeah, come on, give it to me, my ball. And then, hey, my turn, no, get it from me. That's how fucking sports started. When you were kids, when I walk in a room and there's a ball there, I don't want anything to do with it. Don't throw me the ball. Yeah. I don't want it. If you take it, you take it, dude.
So do you watch? So you can't watch sports? You don't watch them? You don't?
It's nothing. Fucking. I don't give a shit. They're grown men fighting over a ball. They're grown men running around, and then 60,000 assholes in an arena watch that shit.
Yeah,
idiots.
Pay good money to watch.
Yeah, good money.
Yeah.
I went to a Clippers game.
I'm one of those idiots.
On Sunday, and I paid decent money for good seats.
I saw
your Instagram, and he goes, "Definitely don't be there."
Yeah.
Which is.
Did you laugh?
Hilarious, okay. Dude. Yeah.
Don't be there, man. It's so hard to. You were so far away from the actual event. Shit, no. I can watch that shit at home, and I'm right there. And this dude, we all invented TVs and fucking cables so we could see this shit. And Adam's like, I want to go there so I can sit a mile away and watch
this. No, dude, but there's something
around.
About seeing it like.
How far
live.
Away from your seats? Like upper deck?
No. Like first, like the second level.
He was in a different stadium.
Yo,
was it football?
In Ohio watching the game on a Jumbotron in LA.
Was it football? It was
basketball.
Basketball and fucking this dude was in a football stadium watching it.
He was across the street.
There's a difference. It's like seeing it live though. It's like if you watch a comedy special.
I get that about it. I mean, get that about it. Yeah. Like comedy is absolutely much better live. I get that for sure.
But then I'm impressed because look at all the number of baseball players we just listed off.
That's why, because when I was a kid in the 80s, when fucking Howard Johnson, Kevin Mitchell, Kevin Elster, these are all just Mets, Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry.
Dick, will you give me that rap beat again?
Daryl Strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight Gooden. Kevin Elster, Dwight Gooden, Kevin Mitchell. I said all these. All these guys were my heroes. When I was a kid. When I was a kid and I liked balls.
So it's like pro wrestling for you. Like the way kids cheer for John Cena.
Here's the other thing, dude. Uh-huh. I like pro wrestling the most out of quote-unquote sports. It's not really sport. But because... they don't pull any fucking punches. That shit is fake for real.
Yeah, right. but there are people who think it's real. Or does everyone who love wrestling know it's fake?
No, who
they
do people actually think it's real?
Over the age of 9?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. There's nobody that's really. I mean, maybe there's some idiots out there. Like maybe the people from the Hills Have Eyes think that.
But those are the people that also believe in Bigfoot, probably.
Yeah.
All those shit. But yeah, I mean, because up to like 5 years ago, I was probably watching wrestling a lot.
Yeah,
like
but you knew it was fake.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And but like you, I respected the theater of it. The like,
right.
Yeah. Because like
understood.
And so you just love it because it's entertainment. So baseball and basketball and football, they're trying too hard. Is that why you're like, yo, guys?
I mean, look, I can respect that the fact that yo, they got to get their money right. You know what I mean? Like they gonna make this money. Like you know,
yo,
like,
Bobby Bonilla's got to make some Bobby Bonilla.
Like yo,
how many Bobby Bonilla references have been on
Barry
this podcast
Bonds,
in the last 3 weeks?
Barry Bonds and Andy Van Slyke. You know what I mean? They both on the Pittsburgh Pirates. They got to make this money.
You think Connie Lansford's got money? Trees in his backyard.
You know what I mean? Ryan Klesko, Chipper Jones, and Javi Lopez gotta make this money. And you know what I mean? If somebody gonna be paying them, you know what I mean, fucking this cash to hit this ball, 300, you know what I mean, batting average is over 300, but they slugging, you know, Frank Thomas is slugging percentage. Tops the league on the White Sox.
I would love to see you do actual sports.
That's Tupac. That's Tupac talking about baseball in the 80s. Tupac. They gotta make it because they a businessman.
Brett Butler, greatest center fielder all time, motherfucker.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he played for the Royals, and that motherfucker is a Golden Glove winner. So when Wally Backman comes to the field, when Ozzie Guillen doing flips to the shortstop, when Oil Can Boyd.
You gonna tell me Terry Pendleton couldn't win 2 Triple Crowns?
You know what I mean? When the baddest relief pitcher, Dennis Eckersley, come to the mound.
It's over. Sid Bream, fastest white boy on the planet.
With Todd Zeal coming out. Where's Rob Dibble? Is right here.
Larry Walker Dibble, taking cuts in the Mile High.
Dibble. Andres Galarraga. See, there's some baseball names.
Dante Bichette, motherfucker.
I remember him.
Some baseball names could be great rapper names.
Oh.
Andre. Oil Can Boyd, yeah.
Yeah, Oil Can Boyd.
Oil Can Boyd.
He was probably a rapper and was like, fuck, I should play baseball because... there's none of these.
Who else was a great baseball player?
John Rocca.
No, this would
great
be
racist. Yeah.
Notorious B.I.G. Great baseball player. would have been a great rap name.
Well,
Andre 3000.
Absolutely, because if you got 3,000 hits,
right? Not to be confused with Mr. 3000, the baseball movie,
right? Which is an actual real movie.
Now, and you, I think this is a really great unknown fact that maybe people know about you, but you want to be an action star so bad.
Yeah, no, I am.
You are.
You're living it every day. It's just cameras aren't rolling.
Yeah, I am.
How are you going to make that transition?
Hansley Mueller's coming out. Play left field for the goddamn Yankees. He gonna get his money. That's Hensley Mueller.
Wait, Dick. Maybe you should give me the fucking the beat.
No,
again.
This is Tupac talking about 80s rap.
No, because we could do our
80s rap. Or 80s
Chris
baseball?
And I, when we were in Chicago, did an 80s baseball rap. Where we were just rapping. We would just do it back and forth. We would be rapping like 80s baseball player names, and it might be the funniest.
Dave Rigetti. I don't know if people are going to think this is funny, but
we got Dave Justice and Tim Raines.
Tim Raines!
Dave Valley. Rich Amaral.
This is Phoenix for sure.
Fermin. Omar Vizquel. Omar Vizquel.
San Sofia.
Not the son, but the daddy.
He's got a son and a daddy. Travis
Alan,
Fryman.
Alan Trammell. Is he one? Alan Trammell?
Yeah, I'm the Tigers, yeah.
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 I never knew any Tigers except for Alan
Trammell. Kirby Puckett.
Fuck, it's hot as shit.
Chuck Knobloch.
Chuck Knobloch.
Dude, right, so that's
He sounds like he could have been a porn star. Yes. Chuck Knobloch.
There's zero girls who know what the fuck we're talking about.
Did you ever do a sports episode on Whitney of you like playing sports?
Uh-huh.
Well, the racquetball one. Yeah.
Smashed her in racquetball and then she beat me in basketball.
And and then the basketball thing, but both of those you're like actually like look athletic.
Yeah, I mean cuz I am an actor. and I can do it.
But I just put on big boy pants.
I don't. Yeah, I can dribble and shit, but I'm just like if I'm playing basketball and somebody's like, give me the ball, I'm like, take it to shit, take it.
So you're never in a pickup game. Like,
I don't care what color team you're on. I don't care what color you're wearing here.
Right. So but you hear like stories of like George Clooney like having like basketball hoops on sets and games and Sandler and stuff. So if like you're doing a movie like that, everyone's like playing, you're like, oh, this would be a good way for me to chum it up with my co-stars. Uh-huh. You're just gonna be like, yeah, you guys are fucking weird and should definitely not be playing as adults. I'm gonna go.
You're gonna ref.
I'm me, dude. I'm gonna go make love. They're not gonna make me fucking. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Chris, you gonna go out and party? You wanna fuck these girls? Nuh-uh. I'm into lovemaking, bro. I'm me, dude. I'm me. You're not gonna make me do shit I don't want to do, dude.
I love that about you.
And that's why I'm gonna live a long time. You know what I mean? Picture me getting cancer in this bitch. Hell no.
Straight.
Have you guys done it? Wait, now that was my next question on Whitney. Have you done like what? There's classic sitcom stories, right? Mm-hmm. Like somebody gets cancer. Somebody does.
Because everyone remembers that All in the Family and Family Matters.
Everybody remembers Jonathan Taylor Thomas getting cancer on Home Improvement.
He never actually got it though. He was a scared. Don't talk bad about JTT, motherfucker.
Yo,
dork alert.
A cancer.
we said some dorky shit this podcast, but that was what fucking capped it. The both of you guys right there. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You know, Jonathan Taylor Thomas got cancer in Home Improvement. Joke's on you. It was a cancer scare.
Dude, that's bullshit. Everybody knows Raven Simone guest starred on that episode, and she actually found out about the cancer before it was even a possibility. Okay, anyway, we'll be back with more bullshit Cosby stories.
There are classic episodes, yeah. But ours are...
But have you guys done one that's somebody getting, like, what's the most intense dramatic?
She had a heart problem. She had a heart problem.
So that was a very special episode?
She had heart palpitations, it was funny because
how do you make that funny? That's why I'm always curious because like shit, sitcoms are classically joke.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think our sitcom has a lot less jokes per minute.
Yep.
And I like that about our sitcom.
More real.
Because I don't like, because there's no reason to push the shit if it's not going to,
right. They'll be like, oh, we haven't had a joke in 15 seconds.
Right, yeah.
Do something weird.
Yeah, exactly.
According to Jim, which I don't know if you saw.
I know you were on it. Yeah, you bragged about it a lot. It was in 1999.
2007.
Okay, fine.
I thought I was going to jumpstart my career. It took fucking, it didn't at all. But but that was like joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so you're more story character, like really kind of. Tell us more.
Yeah,
story.
And she had a heart problem. And then I was talking to, and Maz Jobrani was on that episode. Nice. And he is a comedian. He's really funny. And he was the doctor. And we had like a more serious version of a scene. And Johnny Sanchez came up to me yesterday. He was like, dude, Whitney was so funny the other night. I was laughing so hard. And I was like, oh, wow, really cool. He's like, the scene where you guys are having that serious talk about heart problems when it's not funny was fucking hilarious. And I was like, this asshole. Because he's just watching his friends like be doctors.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's watching one of his friends playing a doctor telling his other friend that his fucking girlfriend has heart problems in a serious fucking
you reacting
moment,
to
and he's
it.
Laughing, doubling over on the couch.
Perfect. We actually got to take a quick break, pay some bills around here, and we'll be right back with more about last night and more with Chris D'Elia.
Exactly.
Mommy, I got the X, get into taking drugs. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough. You can find me in the club.
Buck Starr here, Greg Seitz, whatever my name is, Greg Buck Starr Seitz, CEO of GoCast Network.
And I'm Gary Garver, formerly of, I don't even want to mention that asshole's name, from the GoCast Network, program director of the GoCast Network.
Weren't you on Journey?
Yeah, that was it. Sammy Hagar, they say.
Sammy Hagar. And you know what? We got some sick new technology. You can check us out with Viddy.
What the hell's Viddy, Greg? I have no idea what that is.
Viddy is Instagram, Twitter combined for a great 15-second video experience where you'll see awesome clips and fun stuff.
Wow, I can't wait to check that out. Where do we go?
Viddy.com? I think so.
Okay, cool.
Before you hit fast forward, listen to this.
It's the big hot rockin', non-stoppin', less-talkin', boss-shockin', hit-knockin', finger-poppin', yankin', crankin', hiney-spankin', wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, 50,000-watt blowtorch of rock and roll! That is the Dick and Darren Show.
Dick and Darren downloaded 185 episodes. It's pretty good for you. You'll like it. Up in your ear hole.
On the GoCast Network.
Have you ever made a purchase, bought something, gone into a store, picked up an item and thought to yourself, I sure wish I could pay GoCast Network. Well, great, because now's your chance. Brothers and sisters, put your hands together for this great opportunity. Go to GoCastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon link. Buy your stuff from us at the GoCast Network Amazon link. Click it on, click it on. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Amazon link. Click on the Amazon link and support the GoCast Network. That's all I got to say. Buy your stuff from us. Thank you.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
Wow.
That's oh, it. Motherfucker, right here. This is the gangster shit. Oh no, this is R&B, never mind.
This is Jamie Foxx and shit.
This is, this is the, one of my favorite R&B songs, for real.
What's it called?
Always Fall for Your Type.
It makes me cry.
This is Ray.
You see, but you've got to have
the natural like ease and softness to sing.
Which I have, which Jamie and I have.
Natural ease and softness.
Here's the thing, though,
which
dude.
Is your first album.
Well, let me tell you, naturally softness. Here's the thing, dude. Fucking, there is always slow motion fighting in every R&B video.
Wow.
You know, like where they're like fucking, and then somebody goes too far and like a window breaks.
Yeah.
They're always at the club. He's got to defend his girl.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Someone stepped up to you.
We were fighting in the club in slow-mo.
I love that song, but
Well, hey,
John Legend is the shit.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah.
Oh, now he's boning.
He loves my comedy.
He does?
No.
He was going to come see me. He was going to come see me. That was good. Thanks, good man. Almost plug. No, he was going to come see. He was supposed to come see me. Him and
he goes to the Laugh Factory. He knows Neil Brennan.
Exactly. And his fiance is like, she was like, when are you playing next? And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, come to the improv. She's like, I'm coming with John. I was like, awesome. And then they went to the wrong club because my name was on the Laugh Factory marquee.
While you're at the improv.
You know, yo, it's like, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what it's mean, man. My name's not on any marquee.
And I'm only playing in one club.
Rich comedian
problems.
He was
just trying to be...
He was trying to be supportive.
Ordinary people.
And he was trying to bring his Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition girl
incredible.
Out.
Hey, guys. I don't see women as objects. I see them as fucking personalities on Twitter, and she's funny.
speaking on Twitter, one of the listeners to this podcast tweeted me and said, "Dude, Chris D'Elia was talking shit about you on his on his 10-minute podcast."
Yeah, so we'd like to clear that up on the air now.
Yeah. No, actually, I would like to clear it up. Your guys' podcast fucking blows.
Can you imagine just coming in?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what I said. Yeah. I said, fuck Brad and Adam.
Yeah. They both suck.
They both are terrible. They wear awful clothes. Yeah. Adam always wears like Under Armour maroon shirts like he's on he got kicked off a golf tour.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Straight
and
up.
And I said, you dress like fucking Abercrombie and Fitch.
Still. Callback. Callback, son. Yeah, and then.
What do they say?
I listened to the
Chris's 10-minute podcast with Brian Callen and Will Sasso, which you can get on iTunes and where?
10minutepodcast.com.
Woo!
And you can buy it at J. Crew for a limited time.
All right. See, some of you are like, I don't have an hour to listen to a podcast. I don't have 2.5 hours for Rogan's podcast. Get the 10-minute podcast.
That's pretty great.
It's 10 minutes.
And so what do they say?
Because you were on there and you guys were talking about douchebags.
Right.
And then you said, there's always that douchebag in the group that can't stop talking about last night.
Right. And he thought that I was talking shit about your podcast because it's called About Last Night.
Right,
exactly.
Which is the fucking...
Which is the
that
greatest name.
No doubt believes WWE is real. Because that dude is a fucking moron, and I mean it. I mean it. I'm not joking. You're a fucking moron, and you're a fucking pot stirrer. And if I see you on the street, I won't know who you are. Because you're nobody.
Dude,
What were you? You guys on your last podcast were talking like that a bunch. You, Will, and Brian. What were you saying? Please remind me.
But I don't know. We always talk about that. That's
like,
kind of
No.
That's our way of talking now, where we say like.
You're not busy. Say, you're talking about who's busy.
You're not busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
But we shorten everything. And
we were doing it to Will at one point. What were you saying?
I don't know. Remember. I don't. We do it.
Hey,
we do it a lot.
Listen to the podcast. It's only 10 fucking minutes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, why don't I come on another podcast and do my other podcast? Fucking Seattle Under Armour wearing bullshit terrible podcast.
Thank you.
Runner.
Thank you. We're getting a lot of press on this show.
No, but so that guy fucking sucks, dude. I can't stand when people try to stir the pot. It's the worst.
It happens all the time.
Comedy, it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there everyone's got a
people are like, yo, my
show.
Buddy has a bit like that. Check with him. Shut the fuck up. I'm talking about a birthday party.
My buddy's got a bit about his friend's birthday, dude.
Yeah. People say to me, hey, man, I saw somebody trying to rip you off. Who? This person. And I go, and I fucking talk to the person, and the person says, well, this is my bit. It's fucking nothing like what I said.
Right. You definitely
because
feel like
I'm, because original.
Yo, for sure that's for sure that happens more though because of just being a having your name.
Absolutely, because the internet, dude. I mean, like you people see shit all the time. Like, oh, that's like this, it's like that,
and
that's
people
like
also. So many more people are looking to take you down than to help your
rise. Nobody's
rise.
On the internet fucking writing a glowing YouTube comment.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, that guy talked about birthdays. And then they'll fucking, hey, bro, here's a clip of Brian Regan in 1988 doing a birthday joke.
Not related. Yours is about eating cake. His is about party favors. But it's birthdays.
Yeah.
He already covered that.
But guys, there's been people below some of my Laugh Factory clips that are just like, you're trying to be Joe Rogan. And I'm like,
wow, that's so ridiculous.
You're trying to be, wow, yeah. I mean, he's a great comic.
He does wear Under Armour, though.
Sure. Okay, this is my show. No, but he,
I can beat that. I've been accused of stealing from myself.
What?
That's awesome. Another Brad Williams?
No. Someone on one of my YouTube videos said, this sounds exactly like this other comedian that does a bit, and he posted a link, and it was another video me doing it.
Are you serious?
Bit.
Well, that's...
You should be original. You should be more original than you.
I should not steal from myself.
Yeah. Wow, that's super meta. That's like Inception. Comedy memento.
And like in the comment, he made it like, and he steals this bit word for word. So I'm watching the video like, holy fuck, who's stealing my shit word for word?
You know you didn't do it.
It's me in another shirt.
That's hilarious. Well, you should always wear the same shirt.
Oh, yeah. So just
like Inspector Gadget. Like Toronto McDonald. Or like Adam Ray.
Always with the purple collar.
I always wore this.
Adam, dress more like you're from Seattle, though, because it's not that obvious.
No, it's cool.
You dress like you're from Seattle.
Flannels and vests?
Yeah.
By the way, you wear a vest. I for sure started wearing a vest like way before you or anybody in Los Angeles.
That's not true.
Ahmed wears a vest now. KT just got
Ahmed
a vest.
Ahmed got
That's
it
true.
Late, but how new is your vest, bro?
Yo, dude, fucking old.
Okay, obviously.
Yo, I know. It's Gap doesn't even sell vests anymore. That's how fucking old it is. I got it. Down here while I was in college.
You can tell that he got it a long time ago because it's not one of those like new fitted vests.
It's not
one of those fucking
it's
that
for
makes
sure
him look
puffy.
Like a fucking belt.
Yeah, it makes me look fucking chubby but it's puffy and I love it.
Yeah, because you got it from the Bass Pro Shop.
They had a sale. I was trying to get some bait, picked up a fucking coat.
No, what he was trying to do is get fucking cables for his fucking car so he could fix it.
And Jiffy Lube and they were selling a vest.
I'll get the fucking vest too.
How great is the YouTube video that you and I shot where I'm in the backseat of your car and there's people talking shit about your car like, oh wow, where'd you find a car that fucked up? And it's like, that's Adam's real car.
It's like, no, that's the real thing. Yeah.
No way, that's funny.
It's like, wow, you found a fucked up Jeep with a dent on the side and missing a back bumper. It's being held on by duct tape and cables.
Yeah.
Adam, where did you find that piece of shit?
No, I for sure got to get a new car. Yeah,
you got to roll, bro. You got to get a new car, bro. When your movie comes out,
oh yeah, dude.
Bro, you can't roll around with those fucking cables on your
when the
bumper?
Movie comes out, I'm gonna be an international star, so for sure the vodka commercials I'm doing in Belgium I'm gonna be able to fucking buy. What should I get? Because you got a
pretty
dope
car.
You've
got money, you can buy anything.
I got a car. I got a nice.
But there was a jump. I remember as you were after the first, when you guys got picked up, you're like, yo, I'm going to get a dope ride. What should I get? You were like, just kidding. You have a shit car. I'm not going to ask your advice. But then you end up, you did say like, here's what I'm thinking. And I was like, yo, those are for sure hella dope. And you're like, nobody talks like that. And then you said, never mind. I'll ask somebody else. I'll ask this guy who looks like Tobey Maguire at Coffee Bean.
Oh, yeah.
And
a lot of crazy callbacks.
But you get, but. Your car is ridiculous. It looks like the Batmobile if Batman was retired.
It's a nicer. It's
did
not.
Did you do that on purpose? That it kind of looks like the Batmobile, and you love Batman.
One of my relatives got it for me for Christmas because they know I love Batman. No, I.
I got the car a long time ago in my mind, but now that it's a reality, I went to Mercedes and I got a CLS 550.
Why wouldn't you just get a Ford Escape with two dents in it? Hey. Adam Ray has a car with two dents in it.
Perhaps you should have gone.
Your car is so much cooler.
Hey, Paul Molitor, motherfuckers! Wow, Paul Molitor wouldn't drive around in a motherfucking car like that, Batman!
This summer, Tupac, Paul Molitor, in retired Batman.
Imagine how I feel!
Why is John Olerud always wearing a helmet?
It's not what John Olerud does. It's what he represents.
It's not.
That really what it stands for.
It's not the helmet. It's the man inside the helmet. It's not necessarily even the man inside the helmet. It's the man inside another man.
Don't you know? You are talking about 80s baseball players, Batman.
Hey, Bernie Williams, why so serious?
Tony Gwynn, you've got the greatest swing in baseball. It's 1989.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, but,
Tony Gwynn, why do you sound like a white man?
Well, that's a good question, but, I'm a switch hitting, I love the Padres. I love the Padres.
What?
I love the Padres.
Tony Gwynn, why are you Jerry Seinfeld?
Tony Gwynn is Jerry Seinfeld Batman.
Jerry Seinfeld is retired Batman.
Hey, what are all these people doing outside Gumbo? I told you I didn't want to do any more movies.
Oh, shit, man. You know somebody's going to take this and put it on YouTube. And real fucking
Tony Gwynn and Jerry Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn.
Hey, it's me,
Jerry Seinfeld.
Hey, why do you sound like Tony Gwynn?
Why does everybody sound like Jerry Seinfeld?
Tony Gwynn is Jerry Seinfeld Batman.
Oh, all right, that's enough.
That was great.
I'd go see that movie.
Yeah, me too. So, but you instead of drugs.
Oh God.
You'd be like, am I on shrooms?
Did Tony Gwynn? Pretty sure Tony Gwynn's in this movie.
Kirby Puckett.
Wait, so your car though? Is it?
It's a CLS 550. It's not that. I mean, it's nice.
I definitely don't know what that means. That's a lot of letters.
It's a nice car. Yeah, it's what I think it's what somebody who almost has a lot of money drives.
Yeah,
it's not like a fucking Ferrari.
But you're doing well.
I'm doing well, man.
Yo, even after one episode of Workaholics when we went to Tempe, you were getting stopped at every mall, at every Orange Julius, at every Forever 21, but probably because I was there getting another zipper from my vest, which is dope.
Let's talk about that, by the way.
That's crazy.
Was the fucking craziest shit. I mean, I get recognized so much from that because it's...
That fan base is insane from Workaholics.
Those fans... Hey, Workaholics fans... Stop being such bros, dude.
Are they?
They legitimately sound like the dude I was playing in that. Hey, bro, dude, let's get a picture. You know, like,
yo, Adam was telling me a story about how you, when you came in for that, and you
Adam
said,
Devine.
Yeah, Adam Devine, one of the stars and creators of that show, said that you came in and then you said, can I do a voice, right? Can you do a voice?
I had a cool idea for
He said, think of this. He said he told you, like, this is the coolest guy that everybody wants to be or, like, hang out with. Or just the coolest guy in the world. So he came with a voice.
Which is fucking
genius because that you could not have been more of that guy.
Is that right? Well, thanks. I think
for sure. But then also a character version of that guy. Like, you could tell you were, like, it was your, like, what you... you know, imagined that guy to be.
Yeah.
But then you completely embodied
him. Well,
it's
a silly show, so I was like, whatever. But this was before the show even aired. I did the episode of that because it was in the first season. But people,
isn't that crazy? So you're like, oh, my buddy's show. It'll be fun to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was that when it was still on the web?
No. Well, it had been. They had like some downtime.
You mean the internet or?
Yeah,
because people don't call it the web anymore.
Yeah, no, nobody calls it. Was that when it was the World Wide Web?
Yeah, the World Wide Web.
I was still going off the 80s baseball player references.
No, that's when
I thought we were still in that era.
That's when Reggie Miller was on Dream Team 2.
Was that when it was? Yeah. Was that when it was airing on DOS?
The DOS network never. They're so pissed right now.
Oh man.
CD-ROM.
No, I did it, and I think Adam and Blake. I think Adam and Blake and Anders were like, "Oh yeah, this is funny." I think Kyle, the director, and I think he was like, "Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of fucking weird. I was doing the thing, but then when I did it, he ended up liking it."
Do the voice?
Yeah, I was
my
just
wife
like,
"Is for you guys." So, hey, who's that chick right there?
There he is,
Jillian, Topher. Hey, what up? I'm Topher. I'm friends with guys now.
The fucking
that's incredible. Good job.
Good way to pull that up,
man.
Dude.
Depressing dick coming through.
What you guys don't know is that they don't have somebody helping them with the tech stuff. That was me. I have a recording that I push it. It's built in.
You pulled out your predator.
Yeah. I just,
like the predator.
I open up my wrist and I go goop 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 goop, and it just goes, "Hey, who's that car out there?"
Dude, you joke around, but we're going to get to a place where you can just play sound bites out of your fucking body.
Dude, huh? I mean, a lot of people think, you know, it's like funny and joking around, but pretty soon you're just going to be able to, you know, just fucking rule the world.
Dude, there's always that guy, by the way. At any social situation, you just have to get the right conversation to bring that out of him. Like, dude, you know what? We're not actually that far away from flying cars. He goes, dude, I know you're kind of joking right now.
Yeah.
But, like, in 20 years, like, there's shit they're working on right now in, like, Kuwait that's, like, fucking this, like, serious type of. Yeah, you're laughing because you don't know that they work on cars in Kuwait. But there's like this like new type of like Sintrex oil that like they're putting inside like the bumpers to make it you can't have your bumper attached by a bungee cord because like then you can't like well I mean obviously Ford Escapes wouldn't fly anyway because like probably you parked it on the Commie Store Hill once and somebody ran into it but you didn't want to get it fixed anyway but you can but
Fred McGriff has one
but
hey crime dog
the whole time you were doing that I was trying to think of a fucking another baseball in the 80s. I couldn't do it. I was like, we already said Paul
Dude,
Mullen.
That might be the best one. Because, Fred McGriff.
The crime dog.
The crime dog. He was best. Now, who came first? The actual crime. I'm the crime dog McGriff.
That had to have come
first. Well, crime dog McGruff.
Nobody based a cartoon on Fred McGriff. On the giant.
Crime fighting dog. I'm Fred McGriff.
How racist would that be if they did it that way? Hey, there's a black guy. Let's make him a dog.
Let's make a dog and solve crime.
And he hit 40 home runs. He could probably fight crime
that
as a cartoon
dog. That means he'll wear a trench coat, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Can you pull up a crime dog? Do we have time for a crime dog McGruff cartoon soundbite?
You always say that.
Always take a bite out of crime.
That's pretty good. That's
you're pretty good at impressions. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Because the whole joke on this podcast is that I suck.
Yeah, but you do it funny. You don't. It's not like spot on. But spot on impressions are fucking stupid.
Right? Because they're just. Yeah. That's the person right there.
It's like this. I am James Bond. I love my martini shaking, not stirred. That's the best James Bond impression you're going to get, dude.
Yeah, it was like James Bond.
I'm McGruff, the crime dog. See those kids? Every day in this country, 60 kids.
Is it fucking Nick Nolte?
Why are there kids getting raped in the back?
No kidding.
A lot are kidnapped by strangers. Or even
crime.
By people they know.
It sounds like so Gary Busey from Tropic Thunder.
Why is Columbo doing this one?
Help, pick up.
That is Fred McGriff, right?
Bite out of crime.
Dude, and by the way, Fred McGriff said that every time he stood up to the plate after that.
Absolutely. Every time he took Greg Maddux.
Like, I'm
going to
take a bite out of this
Maddux.
Wow.
Got the Greg Maddux reference.
Brett Saberhagen. Yo, those would be the impressions to corner, though. Like, the market on 80s baseball impressions. Because if you're like, hi, I'm Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
I'm Brett Saberhagen.
Like, everyone in the audience would be like, I guess that's good.
Who might argue?
I guess Tony Gwynn sounded like Jerry Seinfeld.
Hey, it's me, Vinny Castilla.
Hello, it's me, Vinny Castilla.
Why do you sound like Antonio Banderas?
Vinny Castilla.
Why do you sound like Antonio Banderas?
Do it again. It's me, Vinny Castilla.
Hi,
everybody. It's me, your favorite Atlanta Braves second baseman, Mark Lemke.
That's Casey Kasem.
And I've got the hits right after this.
That's a tracks to play on a Friday night.
It's Mark Lemke. I'm picking them ground balls.
Hold on. We got a call dedicated in. Mark McGuire is called in to dedicate a song to his best friend, his bash brother, Jose Canseco.
All those double plays I turn remind me of a song from 1988 from Diana Ross.
Yo, you do. We gotta wrap this up. But you do a few impressions in your actor. You have.
Do I really? I did one, but they're not good.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, but it's.
But here's the thing. You have the physicalization of Keanu, but then the voice was pretty fucking spot on.
It's not that good. It's more the joke.
I just saw Matrix for the first time last week.
Really?
By the way, yeah.
Isn't what?
First time.
Idiot. You are in the 80s.
No shit.
Yeah, but I've seen Shanghai Nights twice in theaters. So
no, but I don't. I only do it when I can add it in my act. I don't fucking be like, here's a guy in yada yada. Hey, I'm a guy in yada yada. I don't do that.
Hey, imagine if Paul Molitor went to the gas station.
Yeah,
it might go a little something
here's
like
what
this.
That would
That's
be. Not my thing.
Hey, why is this so expensive for gas?
That is how Paul Molitor sounds.
See, but you wouldn't know because you don't know how he sounds.
Go with it.
Wait, please, before we get out of here, see if you can find audio of Paul Molitor talking. Because if it's, swear to God, if it's going,
hey, I'm Paul Molitor for Subway,
then fucking,
hey,
you guys got me
Paul
lunch.
Molitor, I'm here to sell your car. GMC.
Uncle Fernandez. Uncle Fernandez.
Yeah, it's me, Julio Franco.
Why is he Louis Armstrong?
I see pitches go fast.
Four people are listening to this still.
Just no,
everyone
dude.
Turned it
Hundreds
off.
Of millions, man.
Yeah,
everyone
turned
it off.
That's where they're going to generate the most power. And also those guys that can hit it a long way.
Not that far.
It really isn't.
Guys can hit it a long far way. Hey, wow. Most guys can hit a fastball. Some guys can hit a sinker. But some guy can hit it far away. You know.
People have different opinions, but those are some of the basic things you got to do.
What are some of the basic things you gotta do?
Yeah, fundamentals in baseball.
The fundamentals in baseball.
It's like a sped up Kermit the Frog.
I'm obviously Paul Molitor.
I'm obviously. But he has to say that before every commercial.
I'm obviously Paul Molitor for Dick's Sporting Goods,
where you can get backpacks for camping or cables to fix your car.
Oh my God,
Chris, this has been unbelievable. Yeah. Great having you. Thanks for coming.
Come on, dude.
Plug whatever you need to plug. What's
my
your
Twitter
stuff?
At Chris D'Elia, and I'm also doing my 1 hour special. I don't know where
buddy.
It's gonna air, but it'll be on soon. I'm
shooting
soon.
Man.
Thanks, dude.
And
all your dates are on your site. But
all my dates are on my site, ChrisD'Elia.com. I'm going to Portland and Connecticut and Dallas.
Disc, can you get the beat? Will you wrap your dates over
we
the...
Gotta go,
oh, shit.
We got to go, guys.
All right.
It's time to go.
All your dates are on ChrisD'Elia.com.
ChrisD'Elia.com.
I will tell all of the people listening, if you have a chance to see Chris D'Elia, see him. He destroys audiences.
He's for sure one of the top comics in the country.
Absolutely.
I'm not just saying that because he's one of my best friends.
Thank you, man.
Adam, talk about your shit.
Rip your shit, Adam!
At Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter. Please tweet me or send me a new bumper for my car. at all my videos and tour dates at AdamRayTV.com. And please subscribe and rate the podcast.
Subscribe, rate, let us know how you like it. I'm Brad Williams, BradWilliamsComedy.com on Twitter, at FunnyBrad. Got dates coming up in Sacramento at the Tampa. At the Tampa Improv, and I'm going to be on an upcoming episode of Jim Jefferies Legit on FX.
Oh, nice.
So make sure you're watching that show and watch for me when I play a comedian named Brad Williams. I really should have let it rain.
Wait, what? Is it
I was up for that. I was up for that. They said I was too tall.
Wait, is it next week?
It's in like 3 weeks. 3 weeks. So, yeah, I'll just plug it throughout.
I'm busy. Can't watch it.
I can't watch it. Next week, I'll be on Workaholics. I forgot. March 13th.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So watch our boy Adam on Workaholics.
Cool, man.
Chris D'Elia, thank you for coming out. This has been amazing for Adam Ray, Chris D'Elia. I'm Brad Williams. This has been About Last Night. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
So it's time to chat about it.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.